Good morning, everyone. Looking out over the auditorium this morning, we have a good crowd. Appreciate the fact that everybody is here. It is a new year. Time where we get to start over again, so to speak. I was looking at Facebook here yesterday and over the past week, kept hearing comments from individuals, or reading comments from individuals that they were going to be glad to put 2016 in the rearview mirror. 2016 may or may not have been a good year for you, but my prayer for you is that you use what happened last year as motivation to be better in 2017. I listened to the prayer led by Brother Joe this morning and at the beginning of services, and he used two words, be more. He repeated them over and over again with different aspects where we could be more, like be more humble. Well, oddly enough, that is the title of a series of sermons that I'm going to pray be able to preach the first four Sundays of this month. Joe did not know that. At least I didn't tell him that unless he was looking at my computer before he got up here. And I will tell you this. I appreciate Joe, and I think praying publicly is harder than preaching publicly. But that's just me, and I think some of you might agree with that too. But that phrase, be more. There are a lot of different areas in our lives where we can improve. We can be more fruitful. We can be more humble. We can be more encouraging. We can be more courageous. If you were here last Sunday evening, you heard a lesson on moral courage. Well, I'm going to follow that up this morning with another lesson. The four lessons that we're going to look at on Sunday morning for the next few weeks, Lord willing, is we're going to be more courageous in 2017. We're going to be more influential in 2017. We need to have a desire to be more diligent. And we'll talk about that in length. And we're going to define all of these terms. And we're going to be more optimistic. I think that last one especially is something that as children of God we should be all the time. Because our outlook is an uplook. And we think about it is if we're looking toward heaven, we should never be pessimistic in our life. We'll talk about that in a few weeks when we get to it. But I want you to consider this morning for our purposes that in 2017 we want to be more courageous. And if you look at the bottom of the screen, it says, fear is the father of failure, while courage gives birth to success. I promise you nobody famous made that comment. I typed that out my own self. I don't know what made me think of that, but there were some thoughts running through my head that just really, that stuck with me when I was thinking about the topic of this lesson. And really what we're going to do, we're going to expand this more than just what we talked about last week. We're going to mention moral courage again this morning, but not like we did last week. I want us to think about where we were in 2016, only for a brief moment, because I do not believe that it's necessarily good for us to be looking backwards. We should always be looking forward. I believe that's one of the reasons why you hear sermons about Lot's wife all the time. Don't look back. So in 2017, we want to be moving forward and keeping those things in mind as we are marching our way into heaven. So, did you make New Year's resolutions? Stop doing that. It's been proven over and over again that most of the resolutions that we make are left in the rearview mirror in the previous year. They're unfulfilled resolutions. The one thing that a friend of mine on Facebook the other day said, you know, quit talking about bodily resolutions are like losing weight. He said, even though that might be good, and I messaged him back about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. I said, what about spiritual weight loss? Setting aside those things which encumber us and snare us. And we need to do that. Forget about the bad in 2016. Concentrate on what can be good in 2017. And part of what's going to be necessary for you to be able to do that is to be able to be courageous. Don't fear failure. Use failure as a means to give birth to success along the way. And have the courage to keep on keeping on. So I wanted to begin today by discussing our need to be more courageous in 2017. And if you think about that word courage and you define it, and you look at everything that around you, look at going back to Deuteronomy chapter 20 for just a moment, understanding that there is a difference between where we live today and what was taking place and what God was preparing Israel to do in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Understanding that the battle that we face is not a physical battle, but our warfare is a spiritual warfare like Paul talks to with the church at Corinth. We still need to understand that we're in the minority. Israel would have been in the minority many times in the battles that they would have gone out to fight. And the key to their success was not in their numbers, but in God, the One, knowing that He was with them at all times. Because you look at verse 1, when you go out to the battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you. You look at verse 4 again. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. I think that's important for us. It is realization that courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Webster defines that for us. You think about the words that we might use to describe it. Valor, spirit, nerve, metal. That's a word that we don't use much anymore, isn't it? But you think about that, that there's grit, virtue involved, and resolution. There is resolve when we think about courage. So I think about that only the valiant make the most out of life. Those who have true courage. Sidney Smith said this, a great deal of talent is lost to the world for the want of little courage. And that is very likely to be a truth that is uninspired, but it is seen on a daily basis. Even among those who claim to be Christians, there is little courage on behalf of some. And because of that, it's wasting the talent that they have, the abilities that they have, because they're locked in fear. And there's that saying again. Fear is the father of failure, while courage gives birth to success. And the reason fear is the father of failure is it keeps us locked in place. It doesn't allow us to move forward. And if anything, it causes us to shrink back and shrink away. And what Moses is telling the children of Israel is just that. Don't shrink back because God is with you. So in 2017, keep that in mind. There is no reason to shrink back from the world. There's no reason to shrink back from the criticisms or the harsh words that might be spoken against you. Why? Because God is there. Kids today use a phrase, and we've used it even as adults. I've got your back. Well, here's the thing. What Moses is telling Israel is God has their back, and He has their front, and He has their right side and their left side. He's there for them wherever they need Him, wherever they may turn. He is there on their behalf. And He's there for us today even. So learn to control our fear instead of letting our fears control us is very important. Because I believe that when you think about it, our behavior in the time of crisis truly does determine our failures and our successes. The coward in the time of crisis will use his legs to run away. The man of valor keeps on fighting the good fight even if he is scared half to death. And we as children of God are going to face challenges in 2017 that may be similar to what we faced in 2016. They may be different than what we faced in 2016. But are you going to run from the challenges? Or are you going to run toward them? I've heard this many times about police officers, about firemen, about our military. And especially police officers and those in the military, quite often what they hear is when there's gunfire, they don't run away from it, they run toward it. That's valor. That's true mettle and true grit on their behalf. And so in our lives in 2017, we must face the challenges head on and be more courageous in doing so. Because I believe that it's God's will for His servant to be courageous. God does not want us to be timid. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not fear. Don't be fearful. You can be like Joshua on that last day, as in Joshua, the last chapter of Joshua. You're given a choice every day, just like he's given a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Had the same type of resolve that Joshua had. It says, for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the reason you have that is you do not fear serving Him because you know He's there with you every day. Not only that, you keep on thinking about that. Do not be afraid because God is with you. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1. Think about this. Strength, though, is necessary, isn't it, to courage? But where do we get our strength? We should derive our strength from our God. Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is to become the new leader of Israel. He is the one who is going to take over for Moses because you see in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Moses is no longer alive. Joshua is going to be the one who is going to have to stand up and face these people. Look at verses 6 and 7 where it says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. And what I want to suggest that what is going to enable us to remain courageous in 2017 is to take what we have in the New Testament as Christians, that armor of God that's spoken of in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, adorn ourselves with it, wear it, use it, keep God's word in the forefront of our minds. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Let it be what the psalmist said in the Psalms, as a light unto our feet and a light lamp unto our pathway. All every day. Not just some days, but every day. It will enable you to have the courage to face the world. It will enable you to have the courage to continually confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not only in word, but with the way that you live. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. Have I not commanded you? Now remember, this is the third time now that God is going to say this to Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many of us actually live our lives like God is with us all the time? That's the important part right there. Is that when you truly believe that He is there with you, courage becomes second nature to you. Fear is just a thought, you know, it's an afterthought. It's back there somewhere that you don't think about it anymore. But our strength comes from our God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Philippians chapter 4. And we're talking about a spiritual strength that is derived from Him, not of our own. It is putting ourselves to become totally reliant upon our God. So, strength is necessary. Do not be dismayed with something that we've read already with Joshua. But be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 13. It's easy to become discouraged and disheartened when one is fearful. But that's moved out of our lives when we're courageous the way we should be. If your hope is in the Lord, be courageous. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We see that word hope used over and over and over again within Scripture. And we've seen it and how it's defined. There should be a confident expectation on the part of every child of God. Why? Because you hope in the Lord. That is where your hope resides. He is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And if your hope is in the Lord, you can be courageous. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be courageous. Be strong. We were talking in the Bible class this morning about those who at Thessalonica that might be wavering a little bit in their faith. And Timothy was sent there to comfort, encourage, to exhort them. We need to exhort one another to be more courageous in our lives because we don't want to waver in our faith at all. We want to be stand fast in the faith. We need to be brave. And we need to be strong. So I want to suggest some kinds of courage to you this morning. And I want you to be thinking about those because there is the military courage that you see. And we see it all the time. We witness this type of courage on display by our country's soldiers when they engage in battle. Because they have the proper training, their senses are heightened, they are alert and ready to react in any and all circumstances. But then you have someone like Peter in Matthew chapter 26 who's got a sword in his hand and ready to defend Jesus Christ as he's being arrested. That's not the type of courage our God, our Savior needs us to have. But we need to have courage to not deny our Lord. Because just shortly after that, Peter resheathes the sword and goes to the courtyard and as Jesus is standing trial. And he faces is given the opportunity to show his courage. And yet he denied the Lord. The kingdom of God is not one where we will wield weapons of physical warfare. But it's still one in which we need to wield the Word of God. It is still one in which we need to contend earnestly for the faith. As we're told in Jude verse 3. There is also a moral courage that we talked about last week that we need to have last Sunday evening. Moral courage. Peter was brave with the sword in his hand but became fearful when he stood by and denied Jesus three times. Are we in our lifetime, are we willing to stand up when faced with challenges? To either deny the Lord or to stand up for Jesus. Which will we do? We may not face anything like this, but let's put it this way. At work, at school, whether it be in public anywhere, or even in private with family, are we willing to do what the song that we first led this morning is the first verse? Soldiers of Christ, arise. Or will we shrink back and not have the courage. It takes more courage to fight without a sword than with one. They are slaves who will not choose hatred, scoffing, and abuse, rather than in silence shrink from the truth they needs must think. They are slaves who dare not be in the right with two or three. We don't have to be in the majority to be in the right. We don't need to be slaves to the majority. We need to be slaves to righteousness. And that takes courage for each individual. There's business courage. You know, you think about it in the business world, sometimes it takes courage, a leap of faith in some instances to start a business. But I'm not really going to talk about that. Why did the one talent man fail, though? He failed because of fear. He buried his talent. Returned it to the master. But that's not what the master was expecting. He really expected him to do what the five talent man and the two talent man did, didn't he? To not be fearful. To be bold, to be courageous with what was given to them. We need to not be like the one talent man. There's social heroism. We face opponents in spiritual battle as well as material things all the time. And it's not easy to take the sneers and the jeers of those people who oppose you in life, is it? Think about Nehemiah for just a moment. He is upset about the fact that the city of Jerusalem has laid in waste as long as it has. He's gone back and he's tried to encourage the people. It's time to rebuild God's city. And yet there were those men like Sanballat and others who would cry out against them. There was Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, even a fox goes up on it. He will break down their stone wall," in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 3. There were people on the outside that were ridiculing and mocking. And yet, what did the children of Israel do? The remnant of people that came back to Jerusalem, they built with one hand while they held a sword in the other. Nehemiah convinced them that it took courage to rebuild, to have faith in God that He would be with them. It takes courage to speak. Because how easy is it when we face criticism to just duck our head and remain silent? But what I want to suggest, what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. But we need to be able to recognize when we need to speak up. Because silence sometimes is just that. It is the sign of weakness, the sign of fear. We need to be bold like Peter. And sometimes say, "You decide who we should listen to, God or men." We need to have a silent fearlessness about us at times. I want you to think about Jesus Christ for just a moment. He stood trial. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. As he's standing trial, he knows his impending doom as far as dying on that cross. That was the purpose that he came into this world. He came to die. He looks at them and he sees them and he's listening. Look at verse 12. I'll go back to verse 11 yet because he's going to face Pilate now. "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus said to him, 'It is as you say.' And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." There are times when silence like that is a sign of strength. Because you think about it, sometimes it takes more courage to be silent and not retaliate for what's being said than just speaking up. There's that fine line, the courage that needs to know when not to be silent and when to remain silent. You look at verse 13, it said, "Then Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly." Our Savior was not afraid to go to the cross. And yet it took courage, in human terms, took courage to remain silent at that time. It takes daily courage on our part to not be conformed to this world. It takes daily courage on our part to understand that when Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." It takes courage to live in the world that we live in today to do that very thing. To present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. One without spot or blemish. Because believe me, we all fall short of the glory of God, don't we? But yet, God expects it from us and He says it's our reasonable service. It takes courage to die for a principle or a cause. Think about that for just a moment. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, Jesus Christ is talking about being the good shepherd. And He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. The shepherd gave his life for his sheep." So it takes courage. And we can develop courage. Experience teaches us that sometimes our fears are just that. They are not real. I was watching a TV show called The Doctors the other night. I was up late, couldn't sleep. It just happened to be on, and it's an advice show. Many of you might know the comedian Bill Engvall. You may not have known that he was deathly afraid of snakes. He wouldn't come near them. At the end of that show, they had had a man come in, cured him of his fear. He came out with about a 5.5 to 6 foot boa constrictor in his hands and then wrapped it around his own neck. Unafraid. Sometimes the fears don't need to be fears. We can conquer the fears. And experience tells us that they are in great fear where no fear was. I'm not telling you not to have a healthy respect for snakes, especially the poisonous ones. But Bill Engvall learned something about snakes that day. He said, "You know, you don't need to be afraid of them because the only thing they are afraid of is being in danger themselves. And if they don't fear that, they don't bite." Fear doesn't have to bite us. It takes good courage. Some things we fear may be blessings in disguise. The trials and struggles of Joseph, they were blessings to him. He may not have seen it immediately in his own life going through what he went through, but they were blessings to him. They were part of God's plan for Israel. And who knew that Joseph was going to end up being second in command in importance in the land of Egypt? His brothers certainly didn't when they sold him to slaves as a slave. It takes courage and to develop courage to understand that right will eventually win. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Why? Because verse 57 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says we have victory over death. because it comes through Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Another misused passage of Scripture, but those who are faithful to God, the eternal end of things will work out in your favor if you are faithful to Him. We need to develop a clear conscience. Shakespeare said, "The conscience doth make cowards of us all." Paul's conscience, though, was clear. He could boldly proclaim the gospel message to kings, dignitaries, and Gentiles. The proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." That needs to describe us in 2017. Because you need to trust in God that He will safeguard you from all fear. Just like He told Israel, or Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 20, God is with you. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil." Now that's the wise man speaking to his children. But it's a wise man that if we think about the wisdom that he's given them, if we keep that in mind about what God has done for us and will do for us in the future, we'll be able to maintain this. We'll be secure without fear of whatever might happen to us. And increasing our courage by facing our fears. I'm not telling you that you have to go out and hold snakes. I'm not telling my wife that she needs to overcome the fear of spiders. But we don't need to be as afraid as we often exhibit. Encourage each other to overcome and face the fears and conquer them. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, "I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith." But in between that, he said, "I have finished the race." I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We have to go through life to the very end. Whether it be when we leave this earthly shell that we have as our bodies today, or whether it be when Christ returns, whichever occurs first, we need to have the courage to live life as a child of God. We need to have courage to understand that the greater the struggle, the harder we need to stand and fight for the truth. The harder Paul fought, the stronger and more courageous he became. He told us, "Be imitators of me as I also am of Christ." This is where we can imitate Paul. So, be sure you are right, and then stand. At first you will be denounced, then you will be defied. At first you will be rejected, and then you will be accepted. First men will swear at you, then if you wear well, they will swear by you. First the sneer, then the cheer. First the lash, then the laurel. First the curse, then the caress. First the trial, then the triumph. First the cross, then the crown. For every scar upon thy brow, thou shalt have a star in your diadem. Stand somewhere. And let humanity know where you stand. Stand for something, and let humanity know what you stand for. Be sure you are right, and then stand. I think that's pretty good advice from an uninspired man. Stand. Don't be afraid to stand. And listen to the words of God to Joshua one more time. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God be with you all in 2017. Don't turn from Him, and He will always be there with you. Be brave and be very courageous in 2017. Take out your psalm books. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And the title of the song asks, "What will your answer be?" You get to start a new year with new opportunities to serve God. January 1st, 2017 just happens to be the Lord's Day. It happens to be a time where we've done what we've done today and worship our God together, remember His death until He returns, to break open His holy word and study from it, to encourage one another, strengthen one another, but we also want to encourage those who are not faithful children of God or those who have never obeyed the gospel to heed the Lord's invitation. So what will your answer be? Don't put it off. Resolve right now to serve the Lord from this day forward. Let Him be with you and you be with Him. Do you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins? We stand ready to assist you. Or if you need to reconcile your life to God as a child of God who has erred from His way, you've turned to the right or turned to the left, and now you want to come back, we stand ready to encourage you with prayers, comfort, consolation. Won't you come? What will your answer be as together we stand and as we sing?